Wow. Emotional getting up after that. Boy. But isn't it amazing God's presence, what it does? It just softens everything. Just for a moment, you're so anointed. The whole team is so anointed. Sorry, I forgot your name. Caroline, you're amazing. And Father, we just want to invite your amazing presence in a greater depth, in a higher measure. Father, Lord, if we're here and you're not, it's a waste of time. But Lord, if you're here, we want to be present in the moment. We don't want to miss what you want to do. We don't want any distraction to get in the way. We don't want anything to destroy this precious opportunity we have in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are building your church. And you're building each pastor, each leader, each person that's here. That you planned this moment and you knew every person where they would be in this moment. And Father, we just pray our response would be right, would to be right here in this moment as well. That we'd be present. We'd be right here, right now. Lord, not distracted by tomorrow's cares. Not burdened by yesterday's shame. Not troubled by plans we have no control over. But right now, right here, Father, we want to get your attention. Isaiah 66 says, on this one will I look. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. I'm not impressed by the buildings, but on this one will I look, on him or her who's poor in spirit. Contrite heart trembles at my word. Father, we want your eyes. We want your attention today. Father, heal the hurting, strengthen the weary, envision the blind, awaken the apathetic. And Lord, I thank you that you would speak life into every person's spirit today. You would speak life. You would awaken every cell in the body. You would just charge with purpose every person that's gathered. Lord, wherever they're from, in this great state, whichever part of the vineyard you have placed them, awaken, quicken, empower, and strengthen, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So good. You may be seated. Thank you, guys. Thank you, team. Caroline, you're amazing. I feel like you should just stay up there the whole time, but you know, that's incredible. I'll definitely get you back later. That was so beautiful. Can we give the worship team a great hand as well? And all the guys at the back who help as well. And to Enjoy Church and all the team here who've made this so good. Incredible. So good. It's always nervous when you speak in front of Stephen Fogarty because, you know, he's a very knowledgeable man. So you better go to the Bible and say stuff. And then, of course, you have to be entertaining because you speak in front of the National Kids Director. It's a very tough tension to be academic and entertaining, which is Sandra's job sitting in the middle there. Anyway, John 21. Thank you again, Pastor David and Alex and all the state executive for the privilege. I just want to echo, because they've been mentioned twice, but I'm so proud of Pastor John and Katie and their two gorgeous kids who I'd adopt if anything happened to them. Actually, no, I won't start a family fight. We'll share the adoption. But honestly, they have been such a blessing to us. I know a lot of you know them from Journeys Gone. All the rumors I'd heard about Tassie, I threw out when they turned up. Because I'm like, who said this stuff about Tassie? These are high-quality people. These are better than the New South Wales people, the Victorians, the Queenslanders. So, and the sign of their brilliance is they chose Perth. So, anyway, John 21. Have you got it? Everyone got the scriptures? I think I've got it on the screen in case you need it. And it says, Simon Peter said to them, the context is Jesus had died, risen from the dead, but the disciples didn't know. They've lost vision. And once you lose vision, and there might be people here today, you've lost vision. So you go through the motions. And the standard thing to do when you've lost a sense of vision is you return automatically to your past. Because it's just what you know. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Because that's where he started. They said to him, we are going with you also. That's the sad thing about a leader who's lost vision. It's one thing for the leader to lose vision and then therefore retract, but then everybody else who's following the leader who's lost vision goes with them also. And that itself is a scary thing for me and hopefully for you to remind ourselves, Father, keep alive in our hearts what you've planned. Because it's one thing for me to lose vision and go back fishing. It's another thing to take a whole bunch of apostles who are supposed to lead the world and they're going, oh, well, I guess if you're going fishing, we're going fishing too. And that's what happened. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing. It's deja vu. Because this is the end of the book, John 21. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus, because fair enough, they thought he was dead. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast. And now they were not able. They were not able. Everybody say, not able. Not able. Did you notice in the first instance, they caught nothing? Say, caught nothing. So scenario one, they caught nothing. Scenario two, they've caught too much. And either way, they're unable. First case, they're unable to catch. Now they're unable to draw. Isn't it a good thing to realize that we're always dependent on God? You might feel in a season where I've caught nothing. Well, we need God to come in and intervene. You might be like in a season where there's so much on, I'm drowning. And we still need God's grace. Isn't it incredible that whether you're on this end of the spectrum or that end of the spectrum, we're always dependent on God? When you've got no kids and you're believing for a miracle, you need God. When you've got too many kids, you're like, Jesus, how do I put an 8-4 and a 2-year-old to sleep and still give you glory? I still need God. We need God in every circumstance. I'm reminded of a story in Botswana, one of the locations we have a church, and in Africa. And our pastor told us a story, Blake Young's great, great preacher. And he was sharing about how they had a time of prayer and, you know, who wants prayer? Someone came to the front and they had a need around. They had a production business and there was no business and they were really struggling. And so, you know, Blake prayed for them. God bless their business. Give them something. It's like the disciples caught nothing. And anyway, sent him off and that life continued. About 4 weeks later, the same guy came forward for prayer and Blake remembered him and said, oh, poor guy. Obviously still needs a breakthrough. And so he went up to him and said, how's things? He goes, oh, you still need breakthrough for your business? He goes, no. Since you prayed, I've had so much work, I'm now stressed. I need prayer because I need God to come in and help me because I don't know what I'm going to do. Isn't that incredible? That we're always dependent on God, whether there's nothing happening or too much happening. Whether we get the answer we wanted or we don't get the answer we wanted, we still need God. And the disciples are unable to catch fish. Now they're unable to draw in too many fish. And here's what it says. Because of the multitude of fish, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, that's John talking about himself, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. He probably thought he was going to walk on water again. So that's the only reason you'd put on clothes before you get into the water, right? But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it. Do you realize the irony that they were toiling all night, they come to the land and there's fish? Sometimes we're toiling all night for stuff that Jesus says, if you just come to the shore, I've got it all. What? It's like he humored them saying, give me some of the fish that you/I caught. But if you just come here and I had breakfast ready for you. Sometimes we need to just go straight to the shore where he is. There's fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. It's an incredible story. And I really want to speak from the last line. Although there were so many, the nets were not broken. And the reason I want to speak from that is because there are actually two miracles that happen in the story. The obvious miracle, the spectacular miracle, the one most of us would hear about, is 0 to 153. I'm not talking about the way Pastor Matt drives on the Tassie roads. I'm talking about no fish to 153 fish in like that. That's a miracle, and may we never forget that's who God is. I love process, I love systems, but I'm so grateful He's still the God of the impossible. He's still the God that can cause cancers to disappear. He's still the God who can cause the dead to rise. He's still the God who can make supernatural things happen. May we never lose sight of the fact that we have an impossible, defying, miracle working, all things can happen kind of God. And no matter what your need, never let go of, stay with process, but never let go of the chance that God could still intervene and do supernatural things and take you from 0 to 153, from barren to overflowing in a moment. That is who God is. And when your faith is ready, that's what is possible. And the key to that, and that's what this verse for this conference is all about, generate. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think. 0 all night to 153 in a minute is exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ask, think, or imagine. That's still God. Anyone remember that? That's still who we're serving. I know we don't experience it every day. I know it doesn't feel like reality sometimes, but that's still who He is. And we need to never forget that, or we will shut ourselves off to the very nature of who He is. Imagine being the son of a billionaire and living like a pauper. Well, Dad didn't give me his money. Yeah, but just remember, it's still all there. And you're one good interaction from having so much in your possession. Because at the end of the day, let's never forget the fact that He's a miracle-working God. And here's the thing. Here's what triggered the miracle. Here's what triggered the obvious miracle. What triggered it was obedience. Everyone say obedience. Look at your neighbor, the one you like better. Say obedience. So, and you know, sometimes when we're believing for a breakthrough, we come to a conference like this. And we're like, God, speak to me. What do I need to do? What do I need to shift? What needs to happen in my life? And we're looking for strategy, and God gives you the simple. You know, think about it. It wasn't dramatic. Cast your net on the other side. He didn't say, find a new boat, get a new crew, join a new lake. It wasn't something dramatic. It was something as simple. It was almost offensive. You've tried the left side, try the right side. And sometimes the humility to obey God is actually what will trigger your miracle. We often look for strategy. God looks for obedience. Just do what I asked you to do and watch how I'll bless you excessively. And we get so smart that we try and work out, well, what's the key? What's the this? What's the that? And often the key to our breakthrough isn't logical or natural. Sometimes you're like, God, I need a financial breakthrough. And God says, forgive your sister. And you're like, well, okay, but what's that got to do with it? Just obey God and you watch. I've seen healings happen when people forgave. And I'm not sure what forgiveness has to do with healings. I'm sure someone will tell me. But sometimes just the simple act of just say, God, I'll do what you tell me to do, awakens and triggers the miracles. You know, that's why it's important as pastors, we actually teach people to hear God, not just to listen to us. Because we give them strategy, God gives them divine keys. We give them counsel, God gives them clues to their miracle. And if they can only hear from the shepherd and they can't hear from God, I'm not advocating wild, rogue, independent, weird behavior. I'm just saying it's so important that everybody needs to be able to hear God. And this miracle of God taking nothing and making something incredible is something that is still doing today. I never want you to lose sight that no matter how hard it feels, like this story, God could literally turn your situation around. In fact, if you're believing for a miracle of radical proportions, I actually want to pray for you. And maybe you've got something stirring in your heart. You've been hoping something would unlock in your life. You're not sure why it feels so barren in an area, and you want God to do something. If that's you, can you stand right where you are? I just want to pray for you right now. I don't know who that is. Okay, come on. Thank you, Lord. I wasn't planning to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. If you're near someone, just stretch your hands towards them. Come on, let's be family right now. Thank you, Father, that you are the one who takes the barren and makes it overflowing. You are the one, God. We just read your word. You did it before, you can do it again. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we just speak right now, breakthrough, increase, multiplication. God, where there's lack, I thank you, you would pour by your spirit, abundant, overflowing. God, you are the God of the impossible. You are the mountain moving God. And Father, we just speak your provision and open heaven, God, where, Lord, you would be able and willing in this moment to unlock, God, supernatural resource, supernatural provision, supernatural answer. God, thank you for the humble that would respond. Father, pour your grace into their account over and over and over and over again. God, that there would be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And whatever they're breaking through that has literally been held back, we release, Lord, the kink in the hose that has held up the blessing. And we command a flow of God's grace into every circumstance, every location, every household, every person. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, the nature of Christ, in your stead, in your name, in your will. Father, we don't come on our own accord, but in yours. I thank you for a breakthrough. Those believing for buildings, a breakthrough. Those believing for a resource, a breakthrough. Those believing for clarity, breakthrough. Whatever it is they're longing for, God, I thank you. You are the answer. Whatever the question, Jesus, you are the answer. And today they will leave with a heart full of fish, dragging the miracle with them. In fact, God, I so pray for a grace on every person that when you answer their prayer, they will not sink, but they will actually have the strength to hold what you have poured into their spirit. And today, even now, we thank you, you're pouring things into the hearts of each one. In Jesus' name, just receive that now. Receive that now. I see clouds almost, as it were, parting as the wind begins to blow, and what seemed to have blocked out light and vision. Father, I thank you right now that it's starting to part. I thank you for the faithfulness of those who've toiled all night, that they didn't quit in the middle of the night. They didn't quit in the morning hour. They didn't quit. They were honest and they were faithful. And I thank you, you're on the shore today. Speak to each heart about the step of obedience they need to take that would trigger the miracle. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Receive that. Receive that. Wow. Wow. Should have had Christine up the whole time. You know, that's so good. I didn't plan to do that, but I really believe that God is going to bring some breakthroughs. That was actually not the subject of my sermon. I want to speak about the second miracle that I didn't tell you about. The first miracle is the obvious one. It's a spectacular one, and we may never stop giving God thanks for what he does. But the second miracle is subtle, so subtle you'll miss it. And it's the last line of what we just read. It said that the nets were strained. They were so full, but they did not break. Now, why you say, what's so miraculous about that? Well, think about that. If the second miracle doesn't happen, the first miracle is wasted. 0 to 153 means nothing if the net breaks. If the net breaks, what's the point of all these fish? Aren't you glad sometimes for God's grace that even though you felt full, you felt strained, you felt overloaded, you didn't break? You literally, God held you together and he kept you. It wasn't anything that you'd put on testimony.com because it wasn't spectacular, but his grace held your marriage together. His grace held your relationship together. His grace held your sanity together. His grace held your mental health together. His grace held the handful of people in your church together. His grace kept you there and you didn't break. And sometimes we need to give God as much praise for his grace that keeps us in the room today as the spectacular miracles, because I love those. But if not for the second miracle, the first miracle's wasted. All the things he wants to do in you and through you is not there if the capacity to hold it and sustain it doesn't go all the way through. The nets were strained but not broken. And I have a question. Why 153 fish? Now, I've heard professors and lecturers in academia give reasons, and I'm sure they're all correct. I've heard reasons about the numerology of it, and I believe it all. But I'm a simple person. I believe Goliath was killed because David took 5 stones, and the reason he took 5 stones is, I don't know about his brothers and his relatives, but I just figured if he missed with the first stone, he'll try with the second. Missed with the second, he'll try with the third. That's my faith. So I think there was 153 fish, not because I've got some Jewish explanation for the numerology behind why 153 is such a significant number in the scriptures, but because the 154th fish would have broken the net. That's Tassie faith, right? I'm a Tassie. I'm a Thanksmanian. So I just figured Jesus knew how many the net could handle. But if you multiply the 11 disciples times their family, would have had it. I don't know, maybe. But my theory is the nets were at breaking point. One more fish would have snapped it. And here's the thing about God. Sometimes we pray prayers that he will only answer to the degree you're willing to carry. Which is also, therefore, a nice reminder as to why we should let go of the frustration at him as if he's the issue. He goes, I know what you can handle. If you want a scripture because you think I'm making this up, there's a few. Here's one. He will only pour new wine into new wineskin. He'll only allow the vessel to contain what it can handle. And the reason he'll only pour new wine into new wineskin is he doesn't want the wine spilled or the vessel killed. He doesn't want the fish lost or the net broken. Even in relation to temptation, he'll only allow you to handle as much as you can bear. You've been going through temptation and going, oh, no, God goes, listen, there's a way out. You can get through this. You will just fight through. He'll never let you go through something you can't handle. He will keep pouring oil until the jars run out, and he won't pour more oil than your jars can handle. God will always pour into your life, no matter what you pray. He loves you too much to kill you with the answer to the prayer you've been praying. God, give us 1 million people. God's like, what? The guy can't count past 400. You know, I've had business guys, Lord, bless me with millions of dollars for your kingdom. For your kingdom, Lord. It's for your kingdom. Oh, for your glory, Lord. And you can imagine the conversation in heaven. God and the angels, he wants millions. Oh, but we know if we get $1 million, we won't see him again. That'll be the last time he comes to church. It'll ruin his marriage. It'll mess things up. Let's see how he goes with $153. Because we know that's what his character can handle. And God, you didn't answer my prayer. He loves you too much to answer your prayer. That's the love of God on your life, not the limits of God on your life. So the real issue, as we go, how do we grow from 18 churches to 50? How do we grow from where we're at now as a group to where we want to be as a group? How do we go from this season to the next season? Here's the principle. The stronger the net, the greater the catch. He loves you too much to answer your prayer. I wanted to get married at 21. I got married at 31. There was nothing wrong with me at 21. That's 25 years ago. It was 25 kilos ago. I was genuinely a stunning piece of work. There's no reason I couldn't have got married at 21. But honestly, I don't know why, but I think God was preparing my wife. And if you know my wife, John and Katie know her well, I needed the preparation. One of us would have died if we got married at 21. And that's God. He loves you too much. Even each servant, he gives you according to your ability. He won't pour. I know we've got desires for more, and sometimes our desires for more come because we compare, we compete. Our eyes start wandering, but really God wants you to be a walking miracle at two levels. All that he's done supernaturally that you can sustain as well. The stronger the net, the greater the catch. Repeat after me, the stronger the net, the greater the catch. So before we ask God for more, ask yourself, how strong is your net? What does that mean? That sounds very cryptic. I'm not a fisherman. I remember when our church started in 2006. So I don't know if we have, Megan. Do we have a picture of there's a random picture. Yeah, that. This, sadly, ladies and gentlemen of Tasmania, you know, the only pictures we have of our very first service. Yes, 15 years later, all over the world, 30,000 people, but sadly, this is the humble beginnings. There's me sitting down. First service is already tired. I was sitting on a chair. And those five people that look like they're under arrest, what happened? Literally, I didn't know any of them. Remember, I went to Malaysia. I had no idea what I was doing. And the one guy I met who we started Starbucks, I said, do you have any friends? He goes, yeah, I've got a guy whose friend's got an apartment. They're still in our church. And that was the apartment. And I said, invite whoever you can. Tell them I'll buy them noodles. Bribery is a thing in Malaysia. So I said, all right, no worries. So I bought noodles and about 12 people turned up. Those were five or six of them. And I sat down and they're like, who's this lawyer who's come, he's given up law and why has he left Australia and why has he come to Malaysia? And there was this just genuine curiosity, but all they really wanted was the noodles. And so they came along and then I'm on fire because I've just had an encounter with God. I'm like, we're going to change it. And, you know, I'm sitting down, I'm telling him a bit of my story. And, you know, actually what I was speaking from that day was John 21. Not this message, but basically the same concept of, you know, one day I was saying to them, one day we're going to have a church of 100 people. And these 10 people are looking at me like, we just want the noodles. Like, I didn't know these people. They weren't like my core team. Not like, you know, Craig and Miriam got a core team. Yeah, we know. These guys just came for noodles. We literally bribed them with noodles. And it was just me. And I said, we're going to have a church of 100 people. And they're looking and going, we don't even know each other. We don't even know why we're here. We came for the noodles. What's this guy talking about 100 people at church? And the look was confusing, but thank God 100 people didn't rock up the next week. What would I have done with them? I couldn't handle the 12 that turned up. Sometimes we pray prayers and we want God to answer it. You know, I was like, God, we want hundreds of new people. I mean, prior to the pandemic, just literally a year and a half ago, globally, we were getting 400 to 500 new people every week walking through the doors of our church somewhere around the world. That's names on cards, and that is staggering. That's like a church walking in every week. But do you think it wasn't the heart of God to bring 400 people the next week? No, he's not willing that any should perish. He wants the whole Apple Isle saved. He wants all of Tasmania reached. But what he's waiting on is a bunch of fishermen to get their nets ready, strong enough so that they can handle the catch that you've been praying for generations. And at the end of the day, God wanted 400 to come the next week after that. But if 400 came, I would have drowned. I would have said, what are you doing? Go back to your religions and your false gods. I got nothing for you. Because at the end of the day, the real question we should be saying is, God, how do I strengthen my net? How do I enlarge my capacity to the point where I can now carry the answers to the prayers I've been praying? And I guess just before we finish today, I want to give you just two components to your capacity that I think is not going to be revolutionary. It's almost as simple as Thanksgiving, but it might refresh every pastor this morning, and that's my prayer. Your capacity, if you want to put an equation to it, your capacity in this context is a combination of both your willingness to connect and your willingness to carry. So I don't know if you like maths, but that's it. Whatever you are believing for, it comes down to your willingness to think about a thread in a net. A thread in a net has to be connected. A thread that is disconnected in a net is now a liability in the net. I'm so grateful for this room. I'm so grateful for your pastors and the leaders and the movement and everything we get to be a part of. And I was talking to Sam. I said, what are you thankful for today? Because we all had to say what we're thankful for. And he didn't say, are you married? So he had no wife to be thankful for. He had spare time to be thankful for and sleep to be thankful for and money to be thankful for. But he was also thankful for to be part of the movement. And I said, oh, that's so sweet. I thought he was nervous because I'm a national executive member or whatever that means. And so I thought, but no, he was actually grateful for the connection. We need to be grateful for who we're connected with and who we're connected to. That great testimony we saw, that pastor gets to build that building because of who he's connected to. We've got to make, who are you connected to? Yeah, well, I'm part of ACC. Yeah, but really, who's speaking into your life? At the end of the day, your connection is only as deep as your vulnerability. You can be a member of something and disconnected from it. You can be disconnected in a connect group. So just the name around it does not change anything. the end of the day, the power of your connection is what strengthens your capacity. I was saying to the pastors yesterday, let those of us who are strong lift up them that are weak is not just two kinds of people. You're the strong people, you're the weak people. You guys lift those guys. No, strong and weak aren't categories of people. They're not labels in your life. They are seasons in your life. And there are seasons when I'm strong and I've got to lift you up, and seasons when you're strong, I'm weak, and you got to lift me up. And my connection to you and your connection to me is what will increase our capacity. One puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. At the end of the day, what we're connected to will exponentially multiply our capacity. Think about the 11 disciples, because one terminated, expired. Think of all of them, if they didn't have a net, think of all of them with fishing rods, and each of them had a fishing line. Imagine if all of them had a fishing line and they were going fishing, and they were all sitting on the edge of the boat, each one, and Jesus comes along and says, miracle! All that would have happened is 11 fish. Because a single line, so even in that very moment, if God was to answer the question they were praying for, the most he could have given them is 11, because they had solo threads. But thankfully, each one brought their solo thread, and rather than having their own individual ministry and their own individual thing and their own individual thing, they said, what could God do if everyone laid their thread down and he began to weave a net? All of a sudden, through a net, 153 was possible, not just 11, because he wasn't just on his own trying to do his own thing. There's something about who you're connected to that will enlarge your capacity. So if you're saying, God, enlarge my capacity, here's a question. Who are you willing to connect with? Who are you willing to connect to? There's an old African proverb. If you want to go faster, go alone. But if you want to go further, go together. I don't know. I just think the three guys in the fire just did better because they were together. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were just ordinary guys, and they had nerves. They were introverts. I don't know what they were on the Enneagram, but they probably weren't very high. And all they knew is this guy's bad. We shouldn't bow. Idol worship's wrong. And at the pre-service prayer meeting, they're like, guys, we're not bowing, all right? On three, no bow. One, two, three, no bow. All right, amen. Woo, yeah, woo. And then there's this intimidating thing. Bow! And you could tell, oh, no, oh, man. But maybe one of them had ego issues and just liked looking tough in front of their friends. But on their own, they never would have done it. They're like, we're not going to bow, right, guys? And one of them had, like, fellowship issues and just like, yeah, I'm with him. And the third guy's like, you never know when you're connected with multiple things how it enlarges your capacity. I always wonder what would have happened if Peter didn't walk out of the boat by himself, but two others walked with him. Maybe he wouldn't have been distracted by the wind and the waves. Okay, not Thomas or Judas, but two other disciples walked out with him. Peter, Jesus, there's something about walking with people that will always beat walking alone. It's more painful, it's more harassing, it's more frustrating. It's like marriage. But you'll never produce generationally and go where God wants you to go unless you're willing to pay the price. Because at the end of the day, walking together is not about company in the kingdom. It's about capacity. Let me say that again. Walking in unity is not about camaraderie. It is. I mean, it's great to have camaraderie. But it's about capacity. Camaraderie is the side benefit. Company and friendship is the bonus that comes with it. What God really wants to do is actually allow us to grow stronger. That's why for us to go from 18 churches in this state to 50, it's going to require us to do some stuff together. It's going to require us to walk together. It's going to require us to not just be in the same place, which is logistics, but be the same heart, which is unity. At the end of the day, ask yourself, who am I really connected with? I really appreciate, you know, Katie's family, who I've just got to meet a little bit. I feel anyone who's a part of their family is an extension of mine. So, and to hear, you know, Pastor Matt talk about her yesterday, and to hear Beck talk, sorry, I had to say my mind. I heard to hear Beck talk about it today, I was thinking, that's so, it's humbling. It's really sweet. I mean, I love these guys. They're for their family, but to hear other people see their growth because of what they're connected with is so humbling. And to be honest, I don't know that we poured any more to John and Katie than we did to all our other staff and anybody else globally. They are very loyal people. They're very lean-in people. So, but they made the effort to ensure that as they moved from Tassie all the way to Perth, they leaned in and they didn't just move, they connected. So you can be here but not connected. Don't just be a part of ACC, be connected. Don't just attend the conference. Be connected. Be involved and throw yourselves in, because at the end of the day, your capacity will increase to the degree you are connected. And here's the second thing and the last thing. Two things that increase your capacity, your willingness to connect and your willingness to carry. And I think this is not just willingness, this is a mindset. When you think of the simplicity of a net is simply, imagine a thread having a personality in net that goes, yeah, guys, I love the connection of ACC, it's awesome, but I'm not carrying anything. Anyone got people in their team, don't raise your hands, that love the connection of that you're providing, but have no desire to carry anything? Hands up. Yeah, not in Tassie, it's all the other states. But, you know, that would be just a pain. That, anyone have the fun guy on your team that's just a lot of fun, but when time to work, they're nowhere to be found? Okay, the nervous laughter is answering the question for me. But here's the thing. Everybody in our church, everybody in our team, everybody in this room was designed to contribute to carry weight. A part of your functionality as being a member of the body is that you are born with gifts and graced with abilities, and you're not in here just to take up room. You're here to actually carry the weight. You're here to actually do some lifting. And you know, I used to be so apologetic about, oh, we need people to serve. And I've stopped being apologetic because I realized I'm not recruiting them to my personal empire. I'm awakening the purpose and the kingdom heart for which they were partially created. I'm not asking them to do something God has not graced them to do. If you're an old person and you've got a frail back, we're not asking you to lift chairs, but we're asking you to lift people in prayer. We're not asking you if you're a business person who's busy because of travel, not that anyone's got that excuse anymore, but to usher at the door, but contribute financially and carry weight. You know, if you hate kids, we don't want you to touch ours. We want you to do whatever you've got. God's put you graced on this planet for, because you were born to contribute. Single mum with kids, I can't go to Connect Group. Well, you could host one because you can't leave your house because the 8, 4, and 2-year-old are really a problem. But guess what? You can have other people over to share your problem. All of a sudden you realize I was born, I can do something. And really you're not just recruiting, you're awakening. Stop seeing it, Pastor, as I'm bothering people. I've had people who, you know, they were meant to build a team, and by the end of the introduction, you were depressed. Listen, Martin, I just want to tell you that, look, I know you and Rose are probably really busy, and we need to ask you this question, but look, you probably want to say no, because, you know, in fact, if I were you, I don't know why I'd even be. Thank you so much for the coffee, you know, I really appreciate you even taking the time to even listen to me, because I don't even know why I'm here, and I'm really sorry, but we're doing something at church, and we really need some people to help, but you know what, you've probably got way too much, and the last thing I want is people to burn out, die, and, you know, dry, and like, shut up. Like, just, they got a better chance of joining the team if you didn't say anything. I've stopped apologizing. Because here's the thing. At the end of it all, we're all born to function. And you don't have to be aggressive or rude or conditional or mean. But you can certainly speak to the grace and the potential in each person, because they were all born to be a part of carrying weight in the kingdom. Contributing in the kingdom. Every part of the net carrying weight is the way the net continues to grow in capacity. You know, some of us, if you got 50 people in your church, you don't need 100 people in your church. You need 50 disciples in your church. And so if your growth goal next year was, Lord, grow us from 50 to 100, maybe change it from grow us from 50 people to 50 disciples. Because 50 disciples will do the work of 1,000 randoms. Because capacity is not just numbers, it's willingness to connect and your willingness to carry. I remember years ago I was on a flight with a friend. He lost his wallet on the plane. And so we went to the lost and found counter in the airport. I won't say which country. It was Malaysia. And so we walked in there and ring the bell, ding, 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 and it took forever. Finally, some lady comes out. They go, hi, my friend here, he lost his wallet on this flight just coming in. Can we just report it missing? And she just looked at him and goes, like this patronizing, horrible look of, you irresponsible human. Why? She didn't say a word. She just sort of turned around and just walked in. You can say hi. And I said, what's her problem? And he goes, and I looked at, it's the lost and found counter. I'm thinking, this woman works at the lost and found counter. I came to report something that's lost. She looks very angry, as if she didn't know this was part of the job description. And then it dawned on me, maybe she only likes the other half of the job, the found part. She likes it when you hand in the wallets. She doesn't like it when you report the lost wallets. But before I laugh too much, sometimes that's what we like as pastors. We like the found testimonies. The lost ones are a bit inconvenient. And we've got to awaken in our people, in our teams, the fact that everybody has got something to contribute. And everybody, we don't just celebrate the found, we go after the lost, because in them is potential grace, in them is potential capacity. Every one of us, and this might be a crude way to land the plane, but every one of us is either muscle or fat in the body of Christ. You're either contributing to make the body stronger, or you're just the weight that we need to carry along with you. I'm not talking about you physically, I'm talking about you positionally. And how many of us lead teams where it's more fat in the body than muscle? And that's why pastors burn out, pastors dry out, because there's not enough people willing to say yes. And if we want to see the answers to the prayers we've prayed, if we want to see our churches grow from 18 to 50, if we want to see, here's the thing about Ephesians 3:20 we don't talk about. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine, whichever version you're reading, that's amplified, according to the power, proportionate to the power, limited to, legal speak, the power that works in us. There's a quotient that will determine the measure. There's a net that will determine the size of the catch. And I don't know where you're at. Christine, maybe come and join me now because we want to land this. I just want to infuse you with enough faith that when you leave this place, whatever you are believing for in the season of life, maybe you're in transition. Maybe you're in expansion. Maybe you're in consolidation. Whatever season or phase you're in, maybe you're just an encourager in the body. I don't know what it is that you're in. But here's what I know, that you were alive in this moment because God is not done with you. He's got a plan for you. It might not be clear to you, but it'll become aware. And if you would just say, Father, I want to connect in and I'm willing to carry whatever. I want to be, because God will start to expand your net, and the very thing you're praying for, God will start to fill you with, because he will only fill you to the degree you are both willing to connect and carry. To the capacity of your net is the degree. That's why someone who's isolated on their own, who won't do anything, will never catch anything. And yet the simplicity of this miracle, it's not even a parable, I've turned it into one, is the stronger the net, the greater the catch. And I occasionally have people say to me, yeah, but isn't the church just meant to be a hospital for the sick? Why are you making us do stuff? I'm giving you answers, because it's not you. You're the pastors that have to answer these questions. And I say, yeah, it is a hospital for the sick, but it's a very different hospital. It's a unique hospital like no hospital you've ever seen. They're like, what do you mean? Well, it is a hospital for the sick, but it's the only hospital where you go from patient to physician. He doesn't just make you better. He actually graces you to be able to then heal the sick. It's the only place where you go from lame to leader, not just walking. You go from spectator to soldier, from crowd to contributor. It's the kingdom of God and the church. We got to stop just bringing people to where, oh, you're not hurt? Wow, we've done our job. No. See, when you pray for people, pray with faith. When I pray for someone whose marriage is breaking up, I don't say, God, keep him out of the divorce courts. I pray, God, keep him out of the divorce courts, but heal them so good that they will become a voice to speak into other marriages that are broken and hurting. That, Lord, what almost tore them apart, they will start to heal in others. And I'm praying that sort of prayer, where they're not just in a hospital to recover, they're in a hospital to be empowered. When I'm praying for someone who's got financial breakthrough, I'm not saying, God, I pray the bankruptcy people stay away. I'm saying, God, keep the bankruptcy people away, but Lord, turn this thing so far around that you make them a blessing and they can then pour in finances, take them from barren to overflowing, from zero to 153. Lord, if I pray for someone's shoulder, Lord, don't just take away the pain. Heal them so good that they can start to carry weights again. That is the kind of faith we need, because that is what we're a part of. We didn't just come to cause the patient to get healed. We came to awaken the potential in every believer. And today is the day that God says, if you you would strengthen your nets, if you would say yes, if you would join arms, if you would say, God, I'm willing, I'll come again, I'll say yes. All of a sudden he'll say, I'll pour more into your space. I'll pour more into your grace. I'll pour more into your fish. I'll pour more into your net. I'll pour more into your boat. I'll pour more into your house. Some of us have been frustrated by the prayers that have not been answered, and God says, my son, my daughter, maybe it's simpler than you think. And right now, I wonder if we could all stand to our feet. Come on, let's stand. Because God does want to pour fish. He does want to give you the desires of your heart. But here's what I want us to do. I just want you to just open your hands in a posture of surrender and reach. Let go of your fishing rod and say, God, make my life a part of a giant net. Because what's my motivation? That I have my own line, or that we see Tasmania saved? That we see Hobart reached, Launceston reached, Davenport reached, Campbelltown reached, Smithston reached, from the north to the south, every part of this island touched. Father, we ask you to enlarge our capacity even now. Breathe on us, God. Breathe on us. Lord, we're willing to carry. We're willing to carry. Just in your own words, just say, Father, I'm here. I'm willing. Lord, and, you know, He knows how, the kids you've got, the burdens you've got, the debts you've got, the challenges you've got, the hiccups you've got. He knows, but what he wants to hear is, Lord, I'm willing to carry. God, I'll do whatever. I'm willing to carry. And his word for you is that my grace is sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. And the beauty of a room like this is we're not just willing to carry alone, but we're connected. So I don't know if you're comfortable with it, but maybe just grab the hand of the person next to you. Because let's form a giant net across this movement. Let's not be a group of threads that gathered for a conference. Save this island, Lord. Save the lost, save the hurting, save the lonely, save the broken. Save Tasmania, Lord. Save this island, God. Say, let it be a beacon of revival and light. And what others see one way, God, you see another way. Lord, use this net in this room right now. Use this net. Use this net. Lord, even now, fall upon people and let burdens rest in the hearts of the leaders, God, that, Lord, you would save Tasmania. Save Tasmania. Save Hobart. Save our city. Save our towns. Save our towns, Lord. Give us more. Give us more. Give us more. Lord, give us a heart for the found, but give us a heart for the lost. Lord, we say yes. We say yes. Lord, 0 to 153. That's it. More, 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 more. Come on, just pray for strength for the person that you're holding their hand. Pray for strength. Pray for grace. Pray for a joint connectivity that no division, no disunity, nothing would cut the threads of what the Lord is wanting to seal and do today. Come on, take a minute. Take a minute. Just start to declare blessing over their life. You don't have to determine where they fit in the net. Just pray that there'll be a strong thread. Never isolated, always connected, always willing to carry. Great are you, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. Strengthen each one, God. Pray right now for them in case they're strained right now. They might feel real strained. They might feel real strained. You don't know what's going on in their life. Pray for them that they would have grace to carry, that their net would not break. Come on, pray for them. Pray for grace. That's it. Speak life. Speak grace. There's grace. There's an anointing here right now. God is healing things. God is strengthening things. God is joining things. God is connecting things. His healing balm, his wine is flowing. It's strengthening. You don't know what is happening in the spirit. It's happening right now. Right now, he's knitting hearts. He's speaking to some. Cast your net on the other side. Simple things, simple things. Yield, surrender, 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 surrender. Have your way, Lord, in Tasmania. Have your way, Lord, in Hobart. Have your way, Lord, in every church. In Enjoy Church, Lord, in your church. In Abundant Life, in Grace, in Village Church, every church, north to south. Father, we thank you for the unity in this house. A unity that would not be fragmented, but we would celebrate. A unity that would not cause insecurity, but Lord, an acceleration. Father, just pour your spirit out upon this entire congregation. That Tasmania would never be the same. That this would be the week we looked, you generated something. Lord, we're so grateful for all you've done. We're thankful, Lord. But God, we ask you for more. We're thankful for the net. We're thankful for the handful. We're thankful for the 50. We're thankful for the few. We're thankful, but God, pour your spirit out. Come on, just have a moment in his presence. A moment in his presence will do far more for you than all the other things that you'll try and strategize. Sing, you bring life. You know that you bring life. That's it. Come on, let's worship the Lord for a moment. Great are you, Lord. He's on the shore of your life. That's it. Let him breathe. Let him breathe. It's your breath. Let his grace fall. Come on, pastors. Come on, leaders. Pour out your praise this morning. Pour it out to the one who called you, to the one who saved you, to the one who picked you, to the one who knows you, to the one who calls you, to the one who graces you. Great are you, Lord. Lord, from the north of the south of the island, all of Tasmania, God. We bless your name. 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 Sing, all the earth will shout your praise. That's it. Let your heart rise. I feel strength rising. I feel grace rising. All the earth.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Great are you, Lord. More, more. More, exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond. Generate more, Lord. Generate more, Lord. Generate more, Lord. Generate more, Lord. Awaken in the hearts of every leader, every pastor. One last time, all the earth, all of Tasmania, every leader, every pastor. All the earth.
shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We bless your name. Come on, let us shout. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. In Tasmania, great are you, Lord. In my church, great are you, Lord. In my marriage, great are you, Lord. In my life, great are you, Lord. And I pray that today, over the next 24 hours, that something would come alive, that God would speak to you so clearly that it's not your end. Things may shift, things may change, but it's not your end. And I leave you with this one thought. For those who are saying, yeah, look, that's good for the young people. I've done my dash. I'm pretty happy with my church. It's pretty good for Tassie size. I like 153 fish. I want to challenge you with one last thought as a handbag. What if the 154th fish was your relative? What if the one you've been praying for is the 154th fish? But because of pastors that say, yeah, I'm good. My capacity is fine. I would hate. That's not a manipulative emotional statement. That's just a reality. God will not pour more into your vessel than we can handle. So, Father, enlarge our vessel today for an Ephesians 3:20 miracle, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Come on, let's get up for Pastor Mark.